every Thursday morning we have what is usually a fascinating discussion with former Labor leader Mark Latham, who joins us again. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
You've got some interesting thoughts on the Bali Nine in the wake of this ongoing debate.
Well, like you, I didn't go to the vigil in the centre of Sydney, mainly for the reason I think it's an issue for Indonesian self-determination. Just as in Australia, we wouldn't want other countries interfering in our legal system, should we be trying to interfere in the Indonesian system, where they've had a law, some people would say quite sensibly, that if you take drugs into their country trying to kill young people, well, they'll kill you. And the drug smugglers we're talking about here, the Bali Nine, well, they knew the laws before they went to Bali, and now they have to suffer the consequences. So, you know, we all feel sorry for the family, but no one's saying these people are innocent. No one's saying they didn't know what they were getting themselves in for. And we wouldn't want Indonesians interfering in our system. We just have to watch the Indonesian system unfold under their laws and their sovereignty.
Well, funnily enough, Mark, you and I are sort of brothers on this issue, because I said exactly the same thing last week in a piece for the SMH website. And within hours, there were hundreds of very strident criticisms being made about me, saying that I was soulless and I didn't have any compassion left in my body. And frankly, this is a whole argument about capital punishment, not about the Bali Nine.
Well, I don't support capital punishment in Australia, but I also respect the sovereignty and the rights of the Indonesians to make their own laws. Now, imagine if there was an Indonesian diplomat or citizen who'd been involved in some skirmish or a sexual offence in Australia, and the Indonesians said, oh, you know, under our system, that's not so bad. You've got to leave this guy alone. He shouldn't be jailed for an extended period of time. Well, the Australian reaction to the Indonesians would be, nick off.
That's right.
Nick off. These are our laws in our country under our values and system. And, you know, there's an air of white supremacy about this. There's an air of Western supremacy, where a country like Australia, well-developed, rich, thinks that it can throw its weight around and lecture the Indonesians because they're just, you know, some poor third-world rabble. Well, I think we need to have a bit more respect and a bit more dignity about the way in which we handle other countries. You know, there is an air of supremacy about this that I think is wrong.
If you were still a Labor Party frontbencher, I mean, I'm intrigued by this because everyone in Canberra is saying the same thing, and I agree with the people in Canberra, but what I'm intrigued about is, would you be able to say this if you were still in politics in Canberra, in this sort of sanitised version of political debate we have?
Well, we've got a lot more political correctness now and a lot more sanctimonious lecturing around the place, but I said something similar when I was actually Labor Party leader in 2004 and the Iraqis executed Saddam Hussein. I hadn't supported the invasion of Iraq, but at the time I said, well, you know, it's their law, their system, and we're going to have to respect that. A few people came out and denounced me at the time. Barry Jones was one of them. He's been a long-time campaigner against capital punishment. But those campaigns should be restricted to Australia. We don't have to make out that we're better than other people. Other people have got the right to make their own laws. Yep.
One of the people who criticised me for my views on this last week was Lee Sales, the presenter of 7:30 on the ABC. You're a big fan of her?
Well, she should stick to her knitting. Her problem is that the 7:30 report, she got that job, not on merit, but because they wanted a woman in the role, and they also thought, because she was a little bit more conservative than your average ABC type, that might pacify a News Corp. Well, none of that worked at all, and really, she's out of her depth. She's the Captain Obvious of Australian journalism, where her interview questions are just bland. She never makes any news. She never causes any genuine discomfort to the MPs who are being interviewed, and the great wasted talent at the ABC. You know, the ABC's got all these critics. Why waste its best interviewer, Tony Jones, or the second-best interviewer, Sarah Ferguson, by not having them heading up the 7:30 report, which is the flagship program?
Did you see Lee Sales' interview with the PM this week?
Oh, no, I couldn't watch, but I've heard about it, and it was just another disgrace. Another disgrace from Captain Obvious, where she just doesn't get to the heart of the political subjects, you know? I've read reports about it, and quite frankly, you know, I'm sure the 7:30 report has lost a lot of viewers. I'm one of them, because of Lee Sales, and the need to get some genuine quality back into that main chair in the main program.
All right, just wade into another one here, the West Hoxton shooting and what the police could have done with that poor troubled woman, 22 years old, who's there with the knife. Everyone's asking the question, could they have done something differently?
Well, there's too much of this going on, isn't there? There's that Brazilian student who was tasered to death in the inner city, and now we're led to believe that four police couldn't subdue a woman with Asperger's without shooting her in the chest. It's just hard to believe, isn't it? And you sort of sense another whitewash coming on, don't you, as the police investigate the police? Surely that she could have been shot in the leg to bring her to the ground. Do they really have to go around shooting people in the chest?
Are you concerned about police being allowed to investigate these sort of shootings? Are you calling for someone else to do that?
Yeah, there should be independent, thoroughly independent judicial inquiries into this, because for some people it looks like murder. Do you really shoot a woman in the chest when you can shoot her in the leg and bring her down? And we all sense the whitewash here. The bloke will get off, as the people in the inner city who tasered the Brazilian to death got off.
One of the stories that seems to have emerged yesterday is that the police officer who shot her felt as though he was being wedged right up against the traffic and had nowhere in which to move, and that's why he had
what
to sort of fire.
Ways to get off the road?
Yeah, well...
Wedged in the traffic? Well, get to the footpath. But surely four police officers would have the skills to subdue a woman with Asperger's without shooting her in the chest. Now, she had a knife. Well, they had four guns. And, you know, I think that the cultural problem in the police is you give some of these young guys a gun and they think it's a license to kill. And you get a lot of barrackers in the media. You get a lot of barrackers in the media who say the police never do any wrong. They never make a mistake. They're flawless. Now, we need to get away from that culture and be realistic about these situations. I'm horrified that back in my old patch there at Hoxton Park, this has happened. And it just makes you wonder who's going to rein the police in and bring some sanity to these circumstances.
All right, well, there's a bit to go on that, and there's a difference between supporting the police, because they represent us, and raising legitimate questions about the way they do things, and I think
Absolutely. The blind barracking, you know, Paul Murray used to do this program, was added on Sky News the other night, that the police can do no wrong. In every circumstance, they're flawless, you know, they're the equivalent of Jesus Christ. Well, that is just so disrespectful to the circumstances, to the dead person, and to reality. In no profession are people without fault. And where there is fault, there needs to be independent judicial inquiry into the police to look at what happened here, so you can get some justice on the other side of the fence.
All right, look, just quickly, Tony Abbott, you think he's still on borrowed time?
Well, I think one of his problems is a bit reminiscent of 1991, when Bob Hawke wasn't brought down by himself. He was tethered to John Kerrin as the treasurer. Kerrin made a few mistakes.
After Keating had gone to the backbench.
Yeah, and Keating replaced Hawke, mainly through the faults of Hawke's treasurer. Well, I think one of Tony Abbott's problems, you know, commentators have rightly said, oh, if Abbott makes one more big mistake, and there's been plenty of those, one more big mistake and Abbott's out. Well, the reality is one more big Joe Hockey mistake and probably Abbott is out, you know. This is double trouble for Abbott. It's not just his own performance.
It's Joe Hockey as well.
He's tied to Hockey, and Hockey, of course, is a political time bomb that's ticking away.
19 past eight. We've got to get to the meat of this segment now. Can we do this?
At the Movies with Mark Latham.
Now, last week, you were in a very harsh mood. You were talking about Birdman, which has been multi-Academy Award nominated, and you could barely give it a half a star. What have you seen this week?
I went and saw Selma, which is a very good movie, but I've got to say to the listeners, if you don't like the political theme about Martin Luther King's civil rights movement, the fight to get the vote in Alabama in the mid-1960s, then don't see this movie, because it's quite like a documentary. It's not just a movie. It's got documentary-type elements to it. It's that realistic. But I think it's such an important story, the story for equality, the story in the fight against racism in the deep south of the United States in the 60s, the great charismatic figure of Martin Luther King. If you're interested in those themes, it's a very good movie. I think the one fault in the movie, though, is that they've got Lyndon Johnson there firing up the FBI to investigate King. Yeah. And there's always been this inference about Martin Luther King that he was sex crazy. And the movie sort of goes into that half-baked and into the relationship between King and his wife. But by the end of it, you've got no resolution.